fellowship that we have together with all of you. I appreciated the announcement and the introduction. Sometimes, you know, you go to some of these meetings or to some of these occasions and the master of ceremonies goes on and on and on till you wonder who the introducer is talking about. I'm reminded of the fellow who came up out of the resurrection, and he looked at the headstone at the head of the grave, and he read the epitaph on it, and he said, either he said, somebody around here is an awful liar, or I'm in the wrong hole. And so I hope I'm in the right spot tonight and have a little time to share a few thoughts with you tonight. We will be talking to you tomorrow night about the trip that we had to Israel, attending the Congress for the Peace of Jerusalem. And we do have some pictures we'll want to show you and some things we want to share with you. And so we hope you'll all be here tomorrow night and bring others if you can. When I was asked to speak tonight, I thought about several subjects that I could talk about. And I decided that I would speak on a subject entitled Getting Involved. I believe in the Church of God we have a great heritage. We have so much. We have the truths that were taught by Jesus and by his disciples. We have the word written for us. We have the truth that Jesus died, that he is the Son of God, and that he came to this earth and that he died for your sins and mine. And through the great power of God, he was resurrected. He ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's coming again to establish his kingdom here upon this earth. A tremendous faith that we have. And we could have talked about any or all of these. And as we think about the great heritage that we have, the truths that have been handed down to us from the disciples, from Jesus, the patriarchs of the Church of God, we think about the 28th verse of Acts 20. And I'm going to just take time to read it. And if you have your Bibles, we would appreciate it if you turn and follow with us. In the 20th chapter of Acts, and verse 28, and probably most of you could quote it, but I'd just like to read it. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so I believe that we of the church of God have a great heritage, but we have a great responsibility in this day, that we continue to emphasize these truths and that we continue to proclaim these truths, continue to feed the church of God, that it might continue to grow and propagate, that many down the line until Jesus comes can come to know of these truths and have the opportunity to find salvation through Christ. Throughout the scriptures, we find many times Jesus speaking of the living water. We remember at the well when he spoke to the woman at the well and he told her, the water that I have for you, if you drink of this, you'll never thirst again, and so forth. We find in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the first verse, the river of water of life flowing out of the throne of God, and so on. So I'm going to divert just a little bit from my original thought, and you'll realize in a moment why. In Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, we find the story of the vision of a city that is to come. And then the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, and if you'll turn, I'd like to have you turn over to that chapter with me. In Ezekiel 47, the first verse of that chapter tells about waters issuing out of the house. And I'm not particularly interested in the moment in that part of it, but I do want to read verses 3 through 5 of this 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47, beginning at the third verse, we read these words. And when the man that had the line in his hand, a surveyor apparently, or a fellow with a measuring rod, when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and they were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. What does this have to do with us and our thoughts tonight on getting involved? Let me go over these verses with you just hurriedly and emphasize a couple of things. We find in that third verse that as this man went out to measure these waters, he stood first to his ankles. And at this point, very little of him was covered, but the majority of his body was open to the open to be seen and to be viewed. And then as he got a little bit deeper measuring on, he came till the water was to his knees. And now less of this man was visible. More of it was covered by the waters, but yet the majority of him was open to view. And then he went further and he came up to the loins, and now about half of him was out of the water and half of him was involved and was in the water. And then as he went even a little bit further, finally he was out till he was completely covered. He was buoyed up. He had to swim. He was completely involved, immersed, if you will, in the job that he was doing. Self was completely covered over, and he was completely involved in this body of water. He was buoyed up, he was carried along, and at this point he became completely dependent. And so I believe that as we go about this task of proclaiming these truths and these tenets of faith that we've come to know from many of you from your very childhood, and many of us in later years as we come to know these truths, we need to be just this involved in proclaiming these truths and spreading this gospel message of salvation to the people of the world. We need to completely erase our old self and be completely involved in this great work. We need to empty out that old sinful self. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. A couple of verses that have meant a tremendous amount to tremendously impressive to me over the years. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'd like to begin at the 5th verse. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And so as I stand in this pulpit or in any pulpit, I've got to erase Stan Ross from the picture. As Brother Milne stands in this pulpit, if he's preaching Kenneth Milne, he's not going to get the job done. But we have to erase ourselves and we have to be completely involved, and it's for Christ Jesus. We are only servants, if you will, for Jesus' sake. For God, the 6th verse, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If I'm preaching Stan Ross, I might as well go home and forget it all. But we need to be standing preaching Jesus Christ and the Son of God, and preaching those things that are important to salvation and the coming of the Lord and the establishment of the kingdom of God. And so we need in the Lord's work to be completely involved and buoyed up in this work, erasing ourselves and getting involved in the work that lies before us. I'd like to have you turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. And we think about, how can we do this? How can we get involved? How can we immerse ourselves in this great work of the Lord as men and women of the Church of God? Go with me to the book of Luke. And I'm going to read a short portion of Scripture, beginning at verse 15. Luke 14, beginning at verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all the things are now ready. And they all with one accord, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see to it, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. And when the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'd like to take a little closer look at these verses. I believe there are six important lessons in this portion of Scripture that we ought to be very concerned about in this day and age. First of all, as we read, notice that no excuse satisfied. One of them came and said, well, I've got a piece of land. I've got to go look after that. Another one said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I guess not too many of us are going to be having any yoke of oxen, but we do have other pieces of personal property. But they said, I can't come. I've got to go try them out. And another said, I've married me a wife. And so whether it be a piece of land or whether it be a piece of property or whether it be a wife or a husband or a brother or a sister or a friend or whatever, nothing wrong with any of these, of course. But if we put those things, if we put the Lord's work aside and put these other things first, then we have made an excuse that is not satisfactory with the Lord. And I don't mean with just coming to service, but in the service of God, the things that need to be done, the witnessing for Jesus Christ, these things must be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Proclaim his name. And I think we today need to be very conscious of this, that we need to be about this business of the Lord's. And sometimes we make these weak excuses. The story is told about the two fellows who decided to go playing golf on Wednesday night. It was prayer meeting night, but they decided this was one night they could go, so they went out playing golf. And they got out to about the fifth tee, and they were teeing up, and the one fellow said, George, he said, I feel kind of badly right now. He said, I know there's old Parson Jones up there leading the prayer service. He said, I feel kind of bad. I feel like I really should be there. And the other fellow said, well, it doesn't matter. I couldn't have gone tonight anyway because my wife is sick. And that's just the kind of excuses sometimes we use, really. I told, when I was over to Lenore the other night, I told a story, and this was a true story. When I was at Brother Duncan's church back in, I think it was about 1962 or 3, they were still meeting in the basement. We got up Sunday morning, ready for service. We'd had three or four services. Now we come to Sunday morning, we get up, and it had rained a little bit, and Brother Duncan said, some of the people in the hills will never get out this morning. It'll be icy up there. So we went to service and had the service, and after services are coming out the door, here's this man walked down, and Brother Duncan said, I really didn't look for you. He called him by name. I really didn't look for you. I thought it'd be icy up in the hills. And the fellow said, it was. I got up this morning, and I said to my wife, I guess we can't go. It's kind of icy out there. And then he says, I got thinking, if this would be Monday morning, we'd get up and go to work. So he said, we decided we could come, and we're here. And this is so true many times. The aspirin that won't cure the headache on Sunday, we'll take care of it on Monday so we can get to work. The point is, we must be careful of these excuses for not serving the Lord. And then the second lesson that we notice in here that is it was the duty of the servants to bring them in. It is not the pastor, it is the church member, the lay member, the servant that is to bring them in. The Lord appointed 70 to go out, and we know what happened. They came back rejoicing. We find statistics tell us that the lay members are the people who come into a church, other than those that grow up through your Sunday school. Of the people that come in from outside, 90% of the people who come in come because some lay member invited them or brought them to service. And so it is important that we as members of the church are concerned and that we do bring people, that we invite people, and we encourage them to come. It is the duty of the servants to bring them in. It's the duty of the membership to propagate the gospel of Christ and to propagate the church. The third thing we'd like to notice, the third lesson in this script text, is the urgency of the mission. When they came back and made these excuses, the Lord was angry. We read in the 21st verse, and he said, go out quickly. And I believe that we need to be about the Lord's business quickly. I believe it's urgent. Now is the time. Now is the time. You and I have no promise that we'll be here tomorrow to invite anybody or to speak to anybody about Christ. Now is the time. It is urgent. Go quickly. And any one of us can witness for the Lord today. If we can't speak, there's literature and there's many things we can do. We need to get involved in one way or another. And if we can't speak to people, at least we can hand them a tract, a herald, or a piece of literature. And then the fourth thing we want to notice in this text, they were able to go out quickly. There was no excuse. It was their duty to go out. And the fourth thing, who would they go to? They were to go to everyone. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind and so forth. The message is to everyone. The invitation is to everyone. God is not willing that any should perish. And so I say to you tonight, the service is not in the church building. We talk about going to services. Well, we really don't do that. We come to worship. We come to learn. We come to worship God, but it is outside of the church door is when our service really begins. And so we need to be to go. We need to get up and go and be about the business of the Lord. And then the fifth thing we want to notice is that we have something good. They were to go out and invite them in to a supper, to a great feast. And we have a tremendous feast to offer to the people of the world today. We have God's Word. We have salvation to offer. We have eternal life. We are not playing games, but we're talking about eternal life. We can offer the people of the world eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we are about an important business. Turn with me for just a moment to the 19th chapter of Revelation for just a couple of verses. In Revelation 19, beginning at verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, here's that waters again, and as the voice of a mighty thundering saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And so we can invite people to come and to know Jesus Christ and to be baptized into him, that they might have the privilege and the opportunity to come to this great marriage of the Lamb, this great marriage feast, a feast that will come to the time of eternal life. And so it is an important game that we're playing, and not a game, but it's an important work that the Lord has set before us. We have something good to offer to the world. And then the sixth lesson, and a very important lesson, I think, is that those who refused did not and will not eat of the supper. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And so if we have refused or rejected him, we better think seriously about it. But if these people in the world have never had the opportunity to come, if we have never invited them, if we have never given them the invitation, they may never have the opportunity to partake of this great marriage feast. Turn with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. In Matthew 22, I'd like to read just a couple of verses, beginning at verse 11. 22, verse 11 says, and when the king came to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on the wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so the wedding garment has been provided for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross to cover your sins and mine. And we need to put on that garment. We need to put on Christ in order to have eternal life. And so the preparation has been made. We cannot buy eternal life. There's no way that we can have enough money to buy eternal life, but Jesus has bought it for us through his precious blood. And so we need to come in prepared. We need to put on the wedding garments by being clothed with the body of Christ. We must put it on. So we have to remove that old self, and we have to remove those old garments and put on Christ. Remove sin and self and put on Christ. Join in. Get involved. Go out in, completely involved and completely immersed in the waters, and not only to the ankles or to the knees or to the loins. We need to be reaching the lost from the highways and the byways. I'd like for one more scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Here we read this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. And so we have the foundation of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the apostles. We have these truths to build on. Now let us go forth and take this message of salvation to the people of the world and be about it today. Now. The time is now. Go quickly. And then turn over to the 21st verse of the same chapter. Therefore, let no man glory in men. As I mentioned earlier, not of ourselves, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let no man glory in men, for all men are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. And so we're only here as servants and vessels in the hand of God. What we need to do is completely involve in ourselves, completely immerse ourselves in the work of the Lord, and put ourselves in His hands. We are vessels to be used of Him. Only earthen vessels, very weak, maybe little talent, maybe little ability, maybe we have very little to offer, but we have something. And if we'll just offer this old earthen vessel, dump out the old self and open up and let Christ come into our lives, yes, we can accomplish. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so I would hope tonight that each one of us might grasp onto this great task that lies before us and get completely involved in the work of spreading the gospel message of salvation to the people we come in contact with, that those who we know and who we can influence can have an opportunity for eternal life in the kingdom of God. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ.